Rabbi Schneider is a voice crying out in our lost world, pointing mankind to Jesus today.
Shalom. I'm Cynthia, Rabbi Schneider's wife. Beloved, testimonies are coming in of God touching and transforming people's lives through this ministry. It's my prayer that today God will touch and transform your life as Rabbi Schneider teaches and preaches God's Word.
God bless you, beloved ones, and shalom. My name's Rabbi Schneider. Welcome today to this edition of Discovering the Jewish Jesus. Father God, we worship you today. And Father God, we lift up our hearts to you today. Father God, we ask you to circumcise our hearts with your divine fire. Father, that you would cleanse us of sin, that you would fill us with light, that you would wash us in your word, that you would strengthen us in your Holy Spirit. Jesus, we ask for your power on our life. Transform us and make us exactly like you, we pray today. In Jesus' name and for Yeshua's fame. And all of you that are in agreement with us today spoke Hebrew and said, Amen and Amen. Did you know, in reference to this prayer that I just prayed, I asked that Jesus would make us exactly like himself. And did you know that that's what your goal is in life, and that's what God's goal is for you? To conform us, the Bible says, to the image of his Son. You know, we oftentimes hear that scripture quoted, that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And we sometimes forget that the next verse says his purpose is that we would be conformed to the image of his Son. So all things are working together for good in our life to accomplish God's purpose, and his purpose is that we would be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what our identity is, and that's what our destiny is, to be conformed to the image of King Jesus himself. And the more we become like him, the more we begin to experience fellowship with him. Think about this again. Many times we want to experience the presence of God, and when we're in worship services, oftentimes, if there's beautiful worship music being played and sung to God, we feel his presence, we feel his power. But did you know that sustainable fellowship comes as we become more like Jesus? It's called what I refer to as the law of similarity. That the more we become like Jesus, the more of his nature is released through our lives. In other words, he can make himself known to us more as we become like him. It's the law of similarity. This is why the psalmist says, who shall ascend to the Lord? Who shall go up the mountain of God? But he that has clean hands and a pure heart. In other words, who can get close to God? Who can fellowship with God? Who can experience this intimacy with him? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. In other words, the more we become like God, the more we are cleansed, the more of Jesus is manifest through our life, the more we have fellowship with God, ascending up, hallelujah, into his presence. So, Father God, I just pray right now for every heart that's attuned to this broadcast, everyone that's listening, Father, with an open ear to you. Father, we want you to make us like Jesus. Father, you've already spoken your destiny over our lives. Your purpose is to conform us to the image of your Son. And you said if we would ask you anything according to your will, that you would hear us and that you would do it. So, Father God, today I'm asking you, Father God, that even through this broadcast, that you would put power on us, power from on high, and use it, Father, to draw us deeper into your Son, to break rebellion in our life, and to make us more like Jesus. Amen and amen. And I say all that, beloved, to introduce to you today the topic that we're going to be on for a few weeks. It's called Contemporary Signs of the Lord's Return. When we truly recognize in a conscious way that Jesus is coming back, that we're going to stand before him, that we're going to have to give an account of our lives, it causes us, beloved ones, to become more like him. And that's what we want, because the more we become like him, as I said, the more fellowship, hallelujah, we have with him. I want to begin just setting the stage on this first broadcast in this series, Contemporary Signs of the Lord's Return, by just showing you the Lord's return as it was first prophesied in the Old Testament. As the time goes on, we're going to move into what's happening today. What signs do we see happening on planet Earth right now that show us that Jesus' return is close? But before I do that, I just want to build faith And I just want to create a historical prophetic foundation to move from, to consider the Lord's return from. Because the reality is that the Christian faith from its inception has always held as a doctrine that Jesus is coming back. But in reality, probably even most that are watching the broadcast today, we don't consciously oftentimes think about Jesus' return. And the reason for this is severalfold. Primarily, it's because he hasn't returned yet. In other words, he didn't return in our parents' lifetime. He didn't return in our great parents' lifetime. He hasn't returned yet in our lifetime. And so the natural mind gets programmed into not thinking about it, not looking for it, because they've never heard that it's happened, it hasn't happened, and it hasn't happened yet. So we seem to be more focused on what is truly presenting itself in the present reality. But I want you to know, Jesus is about to break in to your reality. I want you to put your hand over your heart right now. I want to just encourage you, if you trust me right now, put your hand over your heart. Now, I want you just to make this confession with me. Because Christianity is the great confession. We'll never rise in our faith above our confession. So I want you just to confess this out loud before God. Say, Jesus is coming back for me. Just do that with me. Let's just put our hand over our hearts and let's say together, Jesus is coming back for me. Yes, Jesus is coming back for you and for me. He's coming back, beloved ones, for his church. And so we're going to be focusing on this and meditating on it, because the scripture tells us that if we keep our heart focused on this, if we keep this in front of us in our life, if we consciously remember that Jesus is going to come back, that he's going to reward to each one according to what he's done, it's going to shape the way that we live. It's going to make a difference in what we choose to do, what we choose to think, what we choose to say. So I want you to, first of all, pause with me and consider the fact that the return of Jesus was prophesied and foreshadowed in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, in what Jewish people call the Tanakh. I want you to go with me now as we go to the Hebrew Bible. I want to look, first of all, together with you today, beloved ones, at the book of Exodus chapter 19. I'm going to be reading today from Exodus 19, verse 10, 11, and 16 through 20. Hear the word of God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God abides for you and for me forever. Hear his word. The Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down. Get it? We're thinking about the Lord's return. This is a shadow of the Lord's return. God coming down on Mount Sinai 3,500 years ago, and then Moses going up the mountain to meet him. This is a shadow of Jesus' return and the church going up to meet him and what we commonly call the rapture. So once again, in Exodus 19, we said that the Lord told his people, first of all, to get ready, to wash themselves. And that's what you and I need to be doing. We need to be getting ready for Jesus' return. We need to be washing ourselves by his word. Jesus said that as we take in his word, we're washed by it, by confessing our sin. Jesus said if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness by obedience and fellowship. So we are doing now what the Lord told the children of Israel to do in preparation of meeting him. We're getting ready to meet the Lord by washing ourselves and preparing our hearts. So let me read that again. I want you to think about this as an Old Testament shadow of a present-day reality of Jesus' return that we're waiting for. The Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready. Jesus said to us, be ready. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is the one who is obedient at the time of my coming. So the Lord told Moses to tell the children of Israel to be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai, just as King Jesus is coming down to planet Earth, come down on Mount Sinai. Listen to this now, in the sight of all the people. The Bible says that when Jesus returns, every eye will see him. The Lord told Moses here that he's going to come down on Mount Sinai, and then he said, get it now, in the sight of all the people. Jesus is coming back for you. the whole earth will see His glory. The Bible tells us that every eye will see Him. Everyone on planet Earth will see Him when He comes. Jesus said it's like lightning when it flashes from the sky. Everybody sees it from the east to the west. But this lightning, the lightning of King Jesus Himself returning, will encompass, beloved one, the whole earth. God bless you and shalom, beloved ones. I'm in Tanzania, Africa. I'm here preaching a series of meetings. You can see behind me the crowd is beginning to gather for tonight's meeting. I'll be preaching in about an hour or so. I'm going to show you some of the things now that have been happening over the last several nights.
Rabbi has a great love for the souls. And that's why he's come to such a place as this to come and meet the needs of the local people. You cannot give anything back, but only souls, which again is wild preaching. It's a man that God is raising. It's a time as this that God is preparing for a great harvest, and I thank the Lord for this great ministry.
Beloved ones, people are being saved, people are getting healed, pastors are being empowered and recommitted to evangelize, and it's because of your financial help that these things are possible. You need to hear me when I say this. Where I go, you go. You are spreading the gospel of King Jesus around the globe. I just want to ask you for your financial help, because without your financial partnership, beloved, these things would not be possible. And I want you to know you're going to have your reward from King Jesus when you stand before Him for spreading the gospel on the earth during these days. Thank you. God bless you. I love you. And shalom.
Now back to today's program.
The Lord continues here in verse 16. So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain. And get this now, a very loud trumpet sound. So what announced God's descending on top of Mount Sinai? A very loud, the scripture just said, trumpet sound. In the same way, the Bible says concerning Jesus, He'll be revealed from heaven with the voice of the angels, get it now, and the trump, just like in Exodus 19, Jesus will be revealed with the trump of God. Let's continue on. So that all the people who were in the camp trembled when Moses was revealing this, and it says, and Moses brought the people out of the camp, and I love this next phrase, Moses brought the people out of the camp, get this now, beloved one, to meet God. You're going to meet God. You are going to meet the Maker. You're going to meet the one that created the heavens and the earth. You're going to meet the one, and the scripture says about this one you're going to meet, that the whole earth is full of His glory. It's crazy the way people deny that God exists. I mean, this is just a bit of a tangent for a second. I'm just focusing on this concept here that we're going to meet God. And yet what? The world today says there's no God. This was just created from some big bang. This can be explained by chemicals. This can be explained by some type of cosmic reaction that happened in outer space. This is so preposterous. That is so ridiculous. The Bible says, professing to be wise, they became fools. And that's exactly what happened. How do you explain the Big Bang? Where did the Big Bang come from? It had to start somewhere. And the only explanation is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There had to be a first cause. The first cause is God, the one that exists that has no cause. You know, I was recently in Africa, and I was in the African wild late at night. And everywhere I looked, I mean, I was surrounded by eyes, all the animals, the gazelle, the giraffe, the lions, the cheetahs, the wildebeest, the jackals. I mean, thousands and thousands of eyes were all over the jungle. And then I looked up into the sky, and the stars, beloved ones, they were literally flashing. The whole sky was lit with the brilliant glory of God. And I thought, this is just amazing. This is the most spectacular picture I've ever seen of what the Bible says when the scripture tells us that the whole earth is full of His glory. The whole earth was full of His glory. All the animals, the wildlife, beloved, the cheetahs, the zebras, all of it, and the sky just shining and illuminating and twinkling with the stars and the luminaries. And I thought to myself, no wonder almost everybody I've ever met in Africa knows there's a God. Almost everybody that I met in Africa fears God. They might not all have a personal relationship with Jesus, but they know there's a God because they're surrounded by His glory. We're going to meet Him. And so the scripture continues that Moses brought them to the base of the mountain, get it now, to meet God. You're going to meet Him. Every thought you've ever thunk, He knows. Jesus said every idle word that's been spoken from our mouth we'll have to give an account for. Every accusation we've brought against people, every judgment, every thought of hatred, every thought of bitterness, every thought of unforgiveness, it's all going to be exposed. Jesus said what was hidden in the darkness, He said, it's going to be exposed and shouted from the rooftops. Nothing, beloved ones, is going to be it's all going to be brought into His light. Jesus is coming back. We're going to meet Him, just like we see the children of Israel were brought to the base of the mountain to meet Him. Notice what happens next. They stood at the base of the mountain. Continuing verse 18, now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently when the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. The Lord, get this now, came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. And the Lord called to Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Get it? God comes down. All the Israelites see Him. God calls Moses, and Moses ascends up the mountain to meet God. That's what's going to happen, beloved, when Jesus comes back. We're all going to see Him, and His own are going to be called up to be with Him, just as Moses was called up to be with Him at the top of the mountain. I want you to know, Jesus is coming back for you. I want you to put your hand over your heart with me again. I want you to confess this. If we believe in our heart and confess it with our mouth, something happens in our lives. Say it with me. Jesus is coming back for me. Father God, I ask You to release grace right now to everyone that's listening to my voice through this broadcast. Father, I ask that You would release a supernatural grace to each heart, that all of us, Father, would become aware in a way that's stronger than ever before that You're coming back quickly and we're going to face You. Do you know that the last thing that Jesus said to us in the Bible? Do you know His last words to you in the book of Revelation are, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, I'm coming soon." That's the last thing that Jesus says to us in the Word of God. It's the last word He spoke that's recorded in Scripture. He said, "Behold, I come quickly." You see, God wants to wake you up today, and He wants to wake me up to consciously live with a supernatural awareness that He's coming back soon. Do you know that the apostles lived with an expectation that He would come back in their life? The apostles that wrote the New Testament lived with the expectation that Jesus would return for them while they were still living on planet Earth. Why? Because this is the type of mindset, it's the type of heart condition that the Lord wants His saints to have for all the ages to come. Why has He not returned yet? The Bible tells us that the reason He's not returned yet is because there are still people that are His that He's going to save that don't know Him yet. See, the Bible says God's not slack in fulfilling His promise, but He's patient toward you, not willing for any to perish. The only reason He hasn't returned yet is because all those that are destined for salvation, beloved, have not yet come into a saving relationship with Him. I want you to know Jesus is coming back soon for you and me, and we only have a short time left to prepare for that and to earn a reward. You see, Jesus said in Revelation, He said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to each one according to what he has done." Jesus said, not a cup of cold water that's given to someone because of Him will go unrewarded. Everything that you do for Jesus is going to be rewarded by Him in His return. It's going to be awesome. And so this was just the introductory message today to set the stage for this series. In the next weeks, I'm going to be teaching on what is happening on planet Earth right now that tells us that Jesus' coming is nigh. You're going to be amazed when I show you things that were written close to 3,000 years ago that have told us that these things, when you see them happening on planet Earth, know that God's return is soon. Daniel gave us signs of the Lord's day, the return of the Lord. We're going to look in the New Testament. We're going to see that there are very specific signs. I'm not just going to be going over the signs that many of you have heard before. Many of us have heard about the earthquakes and the tsunamis and the pestilence. We've heard about those things. Those are very real and very true. But I'm going to be going with you in the weeks ahead, beloved. I'm going to show you some obscure signs that are happening on planet Earth today that no one has ever talked about. Many of you have never heard. Contemporary signs of Jesus' return. I want you to get your notebook out in the weeks ahead. I want you to get your pen out. I want you to tell other people about the broadcast. I want this to spread like wildfire because Jesus wants to prepare His church for His return. Father God, we love You today. We need You today. We want to be ready for Your return. Father God, we want to be those that reap from You 100-fold at Your coming. You said that some would bear fruit 30-fold, some 50-fold, some 100-fold. Father, I know that I want to have 100-fold fruit when You return. And Father, I pray that You would get me and get all of us to the place in our life where nothing matters to us more than You. Father God, that You would be first in everything that we think, everything that we say. Father God, that we would even bring our feelings into the subjection of Your Holy Spirit. I want to leave you with this challenge today, beloved one. You're saying to me, many of you, yes, I want to be ready for Jesus' return. You're saying, Jesus, I want to be prepared. I want to give you a specific application, beloved one, as we close this broadcast that will really help you move toward being ready for King Jesus' return. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Watch your words. Jesus said, every idle word that you and I speak, we're going to give an account for. You know that our words control the destiny of our life? And when you choose to speak only those things that are healing, only those things that are edifying, when you refuse to get into criticism, when you refuse to get into judgment, when you refuse to get into accusation, keep your mouth shut and only speak words of life, it will change your heart and you'll be ready for what the Bible calls the day of the Lord. So, Father, as we close today, I just want to tell you, we love You, we bless You, and we're making a covenant with You today to only speak that which is pleasing to You and a fragrant aroma so that we can be ready for Your return. God bless you, beloved one, and welcome to today's edition of Discovering the Jewish Jesus. My name's Rabbi Schneider. I'm so happy you joined us. I always like to begin every broadcast with prayer. We just want to acknowledge God and recognize that He is in the center and that without Him, nothing happens. So, Father God, we just want to tell you today that we bless You and we love You. And we desire, Father God, that You would use this broadcast to move our hearts forward in love. Father God, that You would open our hearts to You. Father, that we would be imparted with new faith, with new revelation. Father, we ask that Your face would shine upon us now, that You would build Your kingdom in us and through us. Father, thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name, we love You today, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. This is the second part of a series I'm calling Contemporary Signs of the Lord's Return. This is such an important series. If you weren't able to tune in with me last week, I really want to encourage you to get this series. Go to our website, the contact information at the end of the broadcast, and you can order this entire series. It's really important. Last week, I talked about Exodus 19 and showed how it was a shadow of the Lord's return. I'm moving forward today, beloved ones, to get to our ultimate goal, which is to show contemporary signs of Jesus's imminent soon return. In other words, what is happening on planet Earth today that tells us that Jesus is getting ready to come back? I'm not talking about the things that many of us have heard of. We've all heard about the earthquakes and the tsunamis and nations rising against nations, and all these things are absolutely true. But I'm going to be talking in this series about signs of His return that you probably never considered or heard of before. You may be thinking, you know, I've been hearing messages about the Lord's return for 60 years. But I want to tell you that the last thing that Jesus told us in His Word in Revelation chapter 22 is, yes, I am coming quickly. And so I want to challenge you today to wake up. Many of you, you're even hearing me talk about this message, and because you've heard so many messages on it, it's rolling off of you like water off a duck's back. I want to challenge you and I today to wake up. Jesus is coming back for you. Jesus is coming back for me. I want to begin the second part of the series today by asking you to do what I asked you to do last week. Put your hand over your heart and simply say, Jesus is coming back for me. Let's say it together. Jesus is coming back for me. Do you know that the whole Bible is a witness to Jesus' return? We're going to look at Daniel, how Daniel spoke of the Lord's return. Zechariah prophesied the Lord's return. In the New Testament, we have angels prophesying of His return. We have the apostles prophesying of His return. And lastly, Jesus Himself, in His last words, told us to wake up. I'm returning. You know, the Scripture tells us and warns us that because He has delayed in His coming, we have a tendency to fall asleep about it. This is what the parable of the 10 virgins were about. They all 10 started out waiting for their bridegroom. All 10 of the virgins started out waiting for the bridegroom. They believed He was going to return. They were in love with Him. But Jesus told us in that parable that because the bridegroom, get it now, very important, saints, because the bridegroom had delayed, what does that mean? Because He had not come as soon as they were expecting, but because He had delayed, those are Jesus' exact words, 5 of the 10 virgins fell asleep. In other words, they stopped looking, they stopped expecting, they stopped living in light of being prepared for His return, and then bam, He came like a thief in the night. And the 5 that were not living in light of the bridegroom's return were not able to enter in the kingdom. That's a strong word. Jesus is telling us today, if you and I are not prepared when He returns, in other words, if we haven't been living lives that have been expecting Him, if we haven't been cultivating lifestyles that are prepared for His return, if we haven't been making decisions based on the fact that He is going to return and we're going to meet Him, when He does return, we're not going to enter into the kingdom. Jesus said, straight and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. So, Father, I pray that You would use this message as a preparatory vehicle, a channel, to prepare the hearts of Your people for Your return. I ask You to wash us by this truth today, Jesus. I ask that You would have maximum effect, Holy Spirit. Wake up Your people. Supernaturally bear witness to their heart that Jesus is alive, that He's real, and that He's coming back, and that He's coming soon. I want to look today at the New Testament witnesses to the return of the Lord. First of all, I want you to know that the angels themselves in Scripture bear witness to the return of Jesus. I'm going now to the book of Acts, chapter number 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. This is right as Jesus has ascended into heaven. They're with Him on the Mount of Olives. The disciples, the apostles are there as Jesus ascends bodily into heaven. And they're looking up into the sky as He ascends so high up they can't see Him anymore. And as they're still looking into the sky trying to see Him, angels appear and they say this, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven," get it now, "will come in just the same way as you have watched Him go." Once again, they're on the Mount of Olives. Jesus is leaving planet Earth. He's been crucified. He's raised. And now He's ascending to heaven. In 50 days, the Holy Spirit's going to be sent. And as Jesus ascends into heaven, He ascends so high, He disappears. And the angels appear, they speak to those that are looking into the sky, and they say, "Men of Galilee, why do you keep looking up into the sky? This Jesus is going to come again in just the same way that you've seen Him go." Did you know in Zechariah chapter 14, Zechariah prophesies about the day of the Lord? And Zechariah tells us the day of the Lord's going to come like that. It's going to be a unique day, he said, a day unlike any other. It won't matter about the moon and the stars. That's not what's going to shine, because God himself is going to shine when he descends from heaven and puts his foot, Zechariah says, get it now, on the Mount of Olives. Zechariah says God's day is going to come. He's going to put his foot down on the Mount of Olives. The mountain's going to split. What did the angels just get done telling the apostles and disciples? That Jesus is going to return in just the same way that you've seen him go. How did he go? He ascended up into the air from where? From the Mount of Olives. When is he going to return? Or what's it going to look like when he's going to return? Where is he going to return? He's going to return, beloved. The Hebrew Bible tells us the same place that he ascended up to heaven from originally. He's going to return at that exact location. He's going to return for you at the Mount of Olives. His glory will be seen across the entire world. And yet the place that will first manifest his glory will be the Mount of Olives, the same place that he ascended to heaven from. I just think that's fantastic. The angels bear witness in Acts chapter 1 to Jesus' return. Zechariah correspondingly bore witness to that same fact. In addition to the angels bearing witness to this, beloved, the apostles bore witness to it. As I said in last week's broadcast, the apostles lived with the expectation that Jesus would return in their lifetime. Does that mean that prophecy has failed? No, absolutely not. The Bible specifically tells us that God is not slow concerning his promise of the second coming. That the reason he's not returned yet, as I said last week, is because there are some people that God has destined for salvation that haven't come to him yet. God is just waiting for the full number of those that were chosen in him from eternity to be with them forever. He's just waiting for all of that full number to come to salvation. God is coming back. The apostles live with an expectation of it happening in their lifetime. And the reason that they did was partially to communicate to us. God wanted to communicate to us through their lives that we should live with the same expectation they did, that every generation on planet Earth, whether you were born in the 1800s, whether you were born in the 1500s, whether you were born in the 900s, whatever year, every generation is to live in light of the fact that Jesus could return in that generation's time period. God wants you and I to believe, beloved, that he's going to return during our lifetime. So let's look here what the apostle said. I'm looking at 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we are alive and remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so she will always be with the Lord. So the angels bore witness to it, the apostles bore witness to the Lord's return, and Jesus himself continually bore witness to his return. In the parables in the Gospels, for example, in the parable that I just shared with you about the 10 virgins, and repeatedly in the book of Revelation, particularly, beloved, in his last words. In Revelation chapter 22, verse number 7, 12 and 20, Jesus said the same thing three times. He said, behold, I'm coming back soon. I am coming back quickly. I am coming back for you, and my reward will be with me. God bless you and shalom, beloved ones. I'm in Tanzania, Africa. I'm here preaching a series of meetings. You can see behind me the crowd is beginning to gather for tonight's meeting. I'll be preaching in about an hour or so. I'm going to show you some of the things now that have been happening over the last several nights.
Rabbi has a great love for the souls. And that's why he's come to such a place as this, to come and meet the needs of the local people. You cannot give anything back, but only souls, which he gains while preaching. It's a man that God is raising. It's a time as this that God is preparing for a great harvest, and I thank the Lord for this great ministry.
Beloved ones, people are being saved, people are getting healed, Pastors are being empowered and recommitted to evangelize, and it's because of your financial help that these things are possible. You need to hear me when I say this. Where I go, you go. You are spreading the gospel of King Jesus around the globe. I just want to ask you for your financial help, because without your financial partnership, beloved, these things would not be possible. And I want you to know you're going to have your reward from King Jesus when you stand before him for spreading the gospel on the earth during these days. Thank you. God bless you. I love you. And shalom.
Now back to today's program.
So with that introduction, beloved one, I want to get now into the body of the message. I want to share with you now contemporary signs of the Lord's return. And the deeper that we get into this, the more unique you'll find that these signs are. The first sign of the Lord's return, beloved, is the removal of the Ten Commandments from society's fabric. The first sign of the Lord's return is the removal of the Ten Commandments from the fabric of society. When we started taking the Ten Commandments out of our schools, off the premises of our public building, when we started removing the Ten Commandments, what we did was, beloved, we allowed way for chaos, whose source is in the Antichrist, whose source is in Satan, to arise. And it's a sign of Jesus' return. In speaking of the Lord's return, Jesus said in Matthew 24:12 that lawlessness would increase. In speaking of the Lord's return, Jesus himself said about it that lawlessness would increase in Matthew 24. When we remove the Ten Commandments, which is part of the law of God, which is the moral constitution of God's law, when we remove them from Western civilization, we made the way for lawlessness to increase. And the book of Daniel tells us that that must happen before Jesus' return. In fact, Daniel tells us that in order for the Antichrist to be made manifest, sin has to first reach a climax. Why does sin have to reach a climax in order for Antichrist to manifest? Because if we were living in a moral society, no one would be deceived by the Antichrist. Because people in a moral society know the difference between right and wrong. It's only when there's no moral absolutes, it's only when lawlessness has increased, it's only when the Ten Commandments have been removed, that the mind of society can become so confused and so gray in terms of their moral discernment that a climate could exist for the anti-Messiah to arise. When we remove the Ten Commandments, beloved, from our main understanding of moral absolutism, we open up the door for the anti-Messiah. And this, in turn, paves the way for Jesus's return. Did you know the Bible tells us that before Jesus returned, to prepare the way for it, the Bible says, he that restrains, speaking of the Holy Spirit, will no longer restrain. In other words, the Bible teaches us that right now the Holy Spirit is restraining sin. The Holy Spirit is restraining evil from taking over. But the Bible says as we approach the day of the Lord, as we move deeper and deeper into the end times, he that restrains, the Holy Spirit, will no longer restrain. In other words, the Holy Spirit, we can even feel it now, is beginning to draw back. He's beginning to let go. He's beginning to release his constraint. He's allowing evil to surface. He's allowing evil to begin to reign in a way that had never reigned before. And as the Holy Spirit begins to step back, as the Holy Spirit begins to allow evil to arise rather than mastering, and he's allowing it now to surface. As this happens, it's preparing the way for the rise of the Antichrist himself. And Paul told us, let no one in any way deceive you. Jesus cannot return until the Antichrist first arises. And so the first contemporary sign of Messiah's return is the taking out of the Ten Commandments of our society, which gives us the rise of lawlessness as is prophesied to us in Scripture by Jesus himself. Before he returns, lawlessness will increase. That is contemporary sign number one. Contemporary sign of the Lord's return number two today is the widespread increase in homosexuality. I am not condemning anybody. I'm speaking about a behavioral pattern. I'm not talking about the condemnation of people. I'm talking about a behavior. The spread of homosexuality, beloved ones, is a sure sign of the imminent return of the Lord. Let me read for you now from the book of Genesis, chapter number 19, beginning at verse 4. This is before the Lord destroyed the world, or actually destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter, and they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight?" These are men wanting to have sexual relations with men. They said, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we might have relations with them." Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. You see, homosexuality is the ultimate deviation from God's moral absolute of society and the way it's supposed to function, because man is God's highest creation. And sexuality is the most intimate way that human beings can relate to each other. And when God's highest creation, which is humankind, begin to relate to themselves, to each other sexually in ways that are deviant, this means that the defilement of society has reached a pinnacle climax. And homosexuality, beloved, as is revealed in Scripture, is the climax of a defiled, deviant society and a suppression of God's moral absolutism. Now, let me say again to those of you that may be watching today that are either in a homosexual lifestyle or are struggling with this, I want you to know today that I love you. And I believe that most that are living homosexual lifestyles did not simply wake up one day and choose to be homosexuals. I believe that some people from as early as they can remember always remember having sexual thoughts and desires towards their own sex. Others that are trapped in this type of a lifestyle were abused as children, oftentimes by a member of the same sex. So I want you to know today that if you're in that lifestyle, struggling with this, my heart goes out to you today. I want you to know that Jesus loves you, that Jesus came for you. Paul said it's a trustworthy statement that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And Paul said, "Of whom I'm the foremost." When they were going to stone, beloved ones, the woman to death in the New Testament for committing adultery, Jesus said, "Let he that is first among you cast the first stone." Everybody is guilty of sin. So I just want to say to you today, if you're in this lifestyle, I want you to know today that I love you, that Jesus loves you. The thing is, though, he loves you and I too much to leave us where we're at. Jesus came to save us. He came to cleanse us, to give us a new nature. The Bible says that when we receive Jesus, old things pass away and all things become new. Maybe some are watching right now and you're saying, "You know what, I tried inviting Jesus into my life and it didn't change me." I want to encourage you that sometimes patterns that have been developing over years and years and years, sometimes they're not broken in an instant. Sometimes they take time. They take perseverance. It's a big battle, but I'm telling you that Jesus will set you free. And I love you today in Jesus' name, and I bless you today. I'm talking not about people. I'm talking, beloved, about a behavior. And these signs of an increase in lawlessness, homosexuality spreading to the place that it's considered as normal and as a perfectly a healthy way to live. These are signs, beloved, that something is wrong on planet Earth, and it's so drastic that God is getting ready to step in and end it and set up his new creation. Now, the third sign, beloved ones, that I want to talk to you about today is the increased stress in society. You know, we're living in a more stressful time than ever before. Most of you know that. All the cell phones, the smartphones, the computers, everything that's happening at work, people are getting stressed out. They go home on the weekends, they can't even rest because they're still so connected to their job that they have a hard time just deconnecting, just decompressing, just disengaging. We are living in a more stressful time, beloved ones, than ever before. Did you know that the Bible tells us that before Jesus' return, that stress on planet Earth will have increased. Let me read now 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Realize this, Timothy tells us, that in the end, difficult times will come. Why are they difficult? One of the reasons they're difficult, beloved, is because of the increased stress in society. As I close today, I just want to just ask the Holy Spirit to prick your heart that the message that I'm sharing with you today, beloved, it's from the Lord and it's true. Jesus, we thank you for the revelation that you love us. We thank you for the hope we have and the future we have in you. Thank you that you're returning soon. We ask you to prepare us for this, Jesus. We want to be ready. So we give you our hearts today. We ask you to cleanse us, to sanctify us, and most of all, Jesus, to prepare us to meet you. God bless you, beloved one. Shalom. My name is Rabbi Schneider. Welcome today to this edition of Discovering the Jewish Jesus. Father God, we love you today. And Father God, we invite you to work in our lives through the preaching of your word. You told us, Abba, in your word, that it's through the foolishness of preaching that you save men. So Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your word. Father God, that you would transform us into the image of your Son. Father, release power, I pray now, in Jesus' name and for Yeshua's fame. And all God's people that are in agreement with this prayer spoke Hebrew with me and said together, Amen and Amen. I am in the middle of a very important series now entitled Contemporary Signs of the Lord's Return. This is now part number 3 of this broadcast. This is such an important series. I really want to encourage you to get the entire series. You can obtain it to the information today at the end of the broadcast, that contact information. I started out in this series, beloved, showing you from the Hebrew Bible shadows of Jesus' return. Last week I began to talk about what are contemporary signs in our culture today pointing to the fact that Jesus' return is nigh. I began to talk about last week the increase of lawlessness, the removal of the Ten Commandments from the school systems. This is a sign that Jesus is coming back soon. I really dove deep into that. I talked about the Holy Spirit. I talked about the Antichrist. Very important word. I spoke about that last week. And then I also talked last week about the fact that the spread of homosexuality in our culture, this is a sign, beloved, that Jesus is getting ready to return. I made big emphasis last week on the fact that I'm not condemning people. I'm talking about a lifestyle and a behavior that is in antagonism. It's in opposition to that which God set in order at creation. You see, sin has defiled all of creation. The fact that people die, this is the result of sin. The fact that people get sick, this is a result of sin. All the evils that are happening in the world, it's all a result of sin. Things have gone haywire as a result of sin. And one of the manifestations of a broken world is, beloved, the behavior of homosexuality. Let me read for you the book of Romans, chapter number 1, verse 25. Speaking of mankind, the Holy Spirit is saying here, "For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error." Now, my point is simply that homosexuality is not part of God's divine design. I want to say, as I said in last week's broadcast, I know that there are people that are listening right now and watching right now. I want you to know I do not condemn you. I am not pointing my finger at you. I am not judging you. I realize that you're broken, just like we're all broken in different ways. Jesus came to fix us. You see, Jesus loves us just where we're at, but he loves us too much to leave us where we're at. Jesus wants to bring all mankind to himself, cleanse us, change us, and transform us into his own image. I know this isn't going to be easy, because when you've been ingrained in a lifestyle for so long, Sometimes those bondages, those addictions, those behavioral patterns, those ways of thinking are deeply ingrained. But I want you to tell you, in King Jesus, you can get free. And Father, right now, I break the spirit of homosexuality off of the lives of those that are watching right now that are reaching out to you and desire to get free. Jesus, in your name, I take authority over demons of addiction. I take over demons of defiled sexuality, and I break your power, Satan, off of the lives of God's loved ones. And Jesus, right now I release healing into the lives of your people. I ask, Father God, for cleansing, Father, that you would cleanse defiled ways of thinking, that you would wash, Father God, your people. Father, we love you today. Father, your word says that Jesus came to release us from our sin. I ask you to release your people right now, Father God, from their sin. Father God, as they reach out to you today, I proclaim that they are being set free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. I want you to know, beloved one, there's hope for you. I want to give you courage today. You can overcome this. I want you to know God can change you. He gives you a new nature. It may not be easy. The battle may be long, but I want to tell you today, in Jesus, you can get free and have the victory. Take courage in Jesus' name. Now, the third area that we're seeing today in society that speaks to us of Jesus' soon return is in relation to the fact that we are living in a society, get it now, that's more stressed than ever before. Do you know, I travel all over the world, the Middle East, Africa, Haiti. Everywhere I go, people have got the cell phones. In fact, in some of these third world countries, they've got two cell phones. I mean, they are talking on those cell phones, addicted to those cell phones. You can't even be with them without them being on their cell phones. It's ringing, it's buzzing, they're punching the buttons. We live in a society, beloved ones, that is more stressed than ever before. People are in bondage to their jobs. They're just so weighed down with the simple stresses of living. Do you know, we can all think about 100 years ago, and you know, there was not much stimulating man's mind. But with the breakthrough of technologies and the increase in the modernization of transportation and so on and so forth, people got to be more and more stressed. And this increased stress is wearing people down. It's breaking them down. And this increased stress in society today, beloved ones, is actually, get it now, a sign that Jesus is getting ready to return. I'm going to go now to the book of Timothy. Here we find Timothy speaking to us about the Lord's return. And here's what he said in realizing that Jesus is getting ready to come back. He says this. He said, realize this. In the last days, difficult times will come. And these difficult times, beloved, are being evidenced in all the stress that we're dealing with today. The increased stress level is the Bible coming true. It's materializing in our culture before our very eyes. Jesus is getting ready to come back. The Bible told us it would happen. The next contemporary sign that I want to bring to the surface today is something that I just alluded to, but specifically I want to tie it into the scripture, the increased travel and information exchange that we're seeing today. In the book of Daniel, chapter number 12, verse 4, here's what we read. The angel speaking to Daniel. Here's what the angel says to Daniel in regards to the kingdom of God coming fully manifest on earth. Here's what the angel says to Daniel. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. And then he says this in regard to the end of time, in regard to the time that God is going to make himself known to the whole world. He says, as we move into this time period that the scripture calls the end of time, here's what Daniel says in preparation for God manifesting his glory to the world. He said this, many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. In other words, the angel saying to Daniel, Daniel, I've just given you all kinds of prophetic revelation about the future of the world. I've shown you how this one called the Ancient of Days is going to be on his throne and how the Son of Man is going to approach the Ancient of Days. And when the Son of Man approaches the Ancient of Days, that the whole world's going to be given over to him and men are going to worship the Son even as they worship the Father. Jesus himself referred to himself as the Son of Man, tying in to this language that Daniel used. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24, in relationship to his return, Jesus said in Matthew 24 that the words of Daniel the prophet will be fulfilled. What did Daniel the prophet do? He talked about the abomination of desolation, how the whole world would become defiled, and he talked about the time that the Son of Man would come to the Ancient of Days. Daniel knew about the end of the world. And here's what Daniel writes for us. The angel says, Daniel, I've given you all the prophecies. I want you to seal up the book until the end. And here's what's going to happen, Daniel. As we get into the end, knowledge will increase and people will be traveling to and fro. What are we speaking of here? We're talking about airplane travel. How long have we had airplane travel? 100 years, less than 100 years, people have been using airplanes. We're in the last days, beloved. Information today, information technology, Daniel said, knowledge will increase. When's Daniel supposed to release the prophecy to prepare the world for the second coming? When knowledge is increased and people are traveling to and fro with these. We're in that time right now. We are in the age of information. We are in the age of knowledge. I mean, all you have to do is punch in your Google. You can find out anything about anything. You don't have to go to the library anymore. You don't have to get in your car anymore. You don't have to travel to some distant city where there's a huge library. Knowledge is accessible to all. Listen again. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. You can go anywhere in the world now in a day. I travel halfway around the world to Africa in a day. It's unbelievable what we're experiencing today. This is a sign, beloved, of the end of the world. Praise God. Blessed be His name. Jesus said, behold, I'm coming quickly. Put your hand over your heart and say with me, yes, Daddy, Jesus is coming back for me. That's what the whole message is about. He wants us to wake up and get ready and live our lives recognizing, thinking about that Jesus is getting ready to return. Does that mean it's going to be this year, next year? I don't know, but you know what? God wants us to be ready. We're in the time is now. God bless you, beloved ones. Thank you for watching Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm here in Naro, Kenya, preaching the gospel.
The old town was standstill for the word of God. This is timing in Africa for a rabbi. We saw how God used him. We saw his passion for Africa. People coming to Christ, many healings, people be delivered. When rabbi say we are coming to Africa, we are excited. Please, rabbi, come again and again. We love you.
Beloved ones, I am so thankful to King Jesus and to you for your financial support, for being able to preach his glorious gospel around the globe in crusades just like this. Thousands are being saved, delivered, healed, and it's only because of you. Beloved, where I go. You send me. Thank you for your financial support. And if you feel the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart to give to this ministry, beloved one, just do it and do it now. You'll be blessed because Jesus always rewards those that are faithful to him. God bless you. Thank you very much and shalom.
Now back to today's program.
The next contemporary sign of Jesus' return, listen to this now, beloved ones, is a rise in false teachers. We have an increase today in false teachers. Listen to the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. 2 Timothy tells us the same thing. Let's listen to 2 Peter 2, 1 and 3. 1 through 3. 2 Peter, beginning in verse 1, chapter 2. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned, and in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 continues, for the time will come, that's now, the time will come, Timothy writes us, and I'm saying to you, that's now. That's now. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He's speaking about people. He's speaking about the population. He says the time's going to come in the end of days where mankind, they won't endure sound doctrine. They don't want to be taught the word. They don't want to be taught about repentance. They just want to be made comfortable. Listen to what he says. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth. Beloved, we are in that time. We are living in an age right now where many, many people will not go to churches where the simple word of God is being preached. They go to churches, beloved, that will tell them what makes them feel good. They'll go to churches that make them comfortable. They'll tell them, they'll go to churches that only talk about how to achieve the American dream, how to be healthy, how to have more money, how to have better relationships. All those things are good. But you know what, beloved? That's the icing on the cake. The message that Jesus came to bring was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But we don't live in a day today when men want to be challenged with their sin. We're not living in a time where most people that call themselves Christians are willing to change. We're not living in an age any longer where most people that call themselves believers are willing to decrease that He would increase. We're living in a day, rather, that when people are challenged, their pride rises up and they leave. They won't endure it anymore. This is what Timothy and Peter said. They won't any longer endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, in other words, wanting to just hear things that make them feel good, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers according to their own desires. You look at the top-selling books in the world of Christendom today. What are they about? How to achieve the American dream. But I want to tell you today, Jesus isn't your magic genie. Jesus didn't come just to grant your prayer request so that you could be famous, wealthy, and wise. Jesus came to call us to repentance first. Jesus came to teach us, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Beloved ones, unless we're willing to repent, unless we're willing to pick up our cross daily, Jesus said, deny ourselves and follow Him. Unless we're willing to be confronted by the Holy Spirit about issues in our life that need to change. Unless we're willing to yield to the Spirit of God. Unless we're willing to continue to grow in Him. We're not going to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said, straight and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But you look today at where many, many Christian people are going to be fed. They're not being challenged with sound doctrine. They're being challenged, beloved, with light, fluffy, superficial Christianity. We're living in the last days. The Lord told us it would happen 2,000 years ago. I want to ask you right now, are you willing to be confronted about your sin? Did you know that conviction of sin is a gift of the Holy Spirit? And when we're willing to confess our sin, He's willing then to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we can't be changed until we do repent of our sin. And you know what? As we grow in the Lord keeps on revealing to us deeper and deeper levels of sin. In other words, when we first become believers, God begins to show us sometimes the outer things in our life. He begins to talk, you know, show us the obvious things. But as we grow in the Lord, as we get more mature in God, what happens is God begins to show us the deeper areas. He begins to show us matters of the heart. And if we let Him, He'll keep taking us deeper and deeper and deeper so that we can examine our heart. We can examine our motives. We can examine our thoughts, all under the glory of God. And this is a painful experience oftentimes. I know it's painful for me sometimes when God shows me in a more full way my sin, when He shows me my selfishness, my pride, my egocentrism. These things hurt. But you know what? The goodness of God leads to repentance. As we're willing to allow Him to put us under the microscope, as we're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to put His light on us, to show us our sin, to show us our need, to convict us that these things bring judgment, as we're willing to allow Him to do that and we repent of it, we grieve about it, we call out to God for mercy from that place, God then cleanses us and transforms us, beloved, into His marvelous light. But many today, once again, as we get back to this message, contemporary signs of the Lord's return, are not willing to go through this process. And they're not willing to put themselves in an environment where they'll be taken through this process. They're not willing to endure sound teaching. They're not willing to endure sound preaching. But rather, what has happened is we have an increase in false teachers today that appeal to these desires of men just to have their ears tickled. You think about it today. How many teachers and preachers are there? And these teachers and preachers constantly major on the same things week after week after week after week. How you could become more wealthy. How you could become more happy. How you can have better relationships. And it's all about you. You see, that is not the true gospel. The true gospel is the glorification of Jesus, not the glorification of man. If it's all about you, week after week, I mean, these messages are all over the place, but if every week it's the same message, how you can become healthier, how you can become happier, how you can become more successful, how you can become richer, if that's what you're hearing every single week, I want you to know, you're not hearing the real gospel, because the real gospel isn't man-centered. The real gospel is God-centered. The real gospel that John the Baptist taught was he must increase and I must decrease. The real gospel is learning how to become a servant. The real gospel, beloved, is allowing Jesus to have his way in our lives for his purposes. And so what we're seeing today is a false gospel that's being preached. We've accumulated for them ourselves false teachers. And the reason we have so many false teachers today is because there are so many people that this is what they want. They accumulate for themselves, the scripture just got done telling us, teachers in accordance with their own desires. They don't want to be challenged. They don't want to grow. They don't want to be confronted. Matthew 24:11 continues on the same theme. Jesus said, many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I'm going to our next contemporary sign today of Yeshua's return, and that's this. Many mainline churches that were once alive, where there was a movement of the Spirit that was taking place through them, many mainline churches that were once alive, forerunners for the Lord, are now cold, dead religious institutions. Let me say it again. Many mainline churches that were once John the Baptist forerunner ministries having huge impact on planet Earth for the kingdom, many of these mainline movements are now dead, cold, religious institutions. I'm reading now from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. The Bible says there's going to come a time where we're going to see those that are holding to a form of godliness. Get it now. It's a form of godliness, but they deny its power. I want you to know today, beloved one, we're living in a time where much of the earth is covered by religious organizations that are cold and dead. I want you to wake up today. Jesus is coming back for you. If you're in an institution like that, I want to encourage you today, come out. Get into a place that's alive. Get into a place that challenges you. Get into people, beloved, that love God. God bless you and shalom. God bless you, beloved ones, and shalom. My name is Rabbi Schneider. Welcome today to this edition of Discovering the Jewish Jesus. Father God, we love you today. Father, we ask you to continue to move in our lives. Father, continue to transform us into the image of your Son. Father God, put the weight of your glory upon us. Change us, Father, I pray, and make us like Jesus. And all God's people that are in agreement with us today spoke Hebrew and said, Amen and Amen. This is part number 4 of a very important series that I'm calling Contemporary Signs of the Lord's Return. I'm not going to go back today to review from the beginning. I'm just going to pick up where I left off last week. I want to encourage you to go to our website or call the information, the contact number at the end of the broadcast today. Get this entire series. It's a very good one. Do you know that the last thing that Jesus spoke to us was, "Behold, I'm coming quickly"? The last words that Jesus left us are, I am coming quickly. The reality is that you and I need to be woken up to Jesus' return. We need to live in such a way that we're aware He's going to come, and we need to believe that He's going to be coming in our lifetime. Again, I've talked about this. Get the earlier broadcast. Last week, as I was closing, I was talking about this contemporary sign of the Lord's return. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, that many will have a form of godliness. In other words, it's a religious form, but it's going to be devoid of God's presence and power. Listen now to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. They're going to hold to a form of godliness, Timothy said, although they have denied its power. Beloved, what is being described here is a religious movement that is devoid of the presence and the Spirit of God. And what we are seeing in our generation is that many mainline denominations, many mainline churches that once were having great impact on the earth for the glory of God, they were forerunner ministries. People were getting saved. People were coming to the Lord. People were repenting because of the gospel that was being preached from these forerunner movements. What has happened with many of these movements that became denominations is that they've become cold, lifeless, religious institutions. They have a form of religion, a form of godliness, but they're devoid of power. And this is certainly true. This is certainly true when you look today at some of the religious movements that were 100 years ago, forerunner movements impacting earth for the kingdom of God, and yet now many of these movements are lifeless, cold. They've got into liberal theology, even denying fundamental doctrines like the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Virgin Mary, that Jesus is the only way. I mean, some of these religious organizations are even denying that Jesus is the only way. The Bible talked about this. They said, when you get into the end of the age, you're going to find that many religious movements that were once alive are going to become empty shells. They're still going to have a form of godliness, a religious shell, but they're going to be devoid of power. We're living in this age, and we're seeing, beloved, many of these older religious denominations that were once so strong crumbling. They're nothing more oftentimes than empty shells. Now, let me simply say that I know that there are good pastors and good ministries going on within all denominations. I'm speaking in general terms, not in specific categories. The next contemporary sign of Jesus' return, get this now, is the desecration of marriage. You know, we're living in an age today where young people, they're growing up, they're getting to be 25 years old, they're saying, why get married? Why get married and risk the pain of divorce? I can have everything I want just living with somebody. We're living in an age, beloved, where marriage is moving out of the mainstream. We're going to see this phenomenon happening more and more. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, we find that as we move into the end of the age, that there's going to be men that are going to forbid marriage. It's just a movement. It's a mindset. It's a philosophy that marriage is no longer an important institution. Why should I go sign a contract? That's just man-made. I can live with somebody, and I can, quote, still have all the privileges of a married couple. Why go through the ordeal of going before a rabbi or a pastor or a priest or some religious clergyman? Why go through the ordeal of registering with the state? These things are no longer necessary. These things are archaic. These things are dinosaurs. These things were for another age. That is no longer important. I can simply be who I want to be with. We can enjoy each other as a couple. And if at any point in time we decide that our lives are going different directions or it's not working out, then we're free to go. Who needs marriage? And why do I have to be married to have children? And so we're living in an age, you're going to find, the deeper we go into the end of the age, you're going to find more and more people are going to choose not to be married. This is one of the signs, beloved ones, of the end of the age. I'm going to share with you another contemporary sign of the end of the age that you probably haven't thought of, and yet when I share it with you, you're going to realize this is true. Men, the Scripture says in 1 Timothy 4:3, will not only forbid marriage, but listen to this, They will advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. Listen to what I'm saying. One of the signs, the contemporary signs, that's pointing to the fact that we are truly living in the darkest of days, preparing the way for the advance of King Jesus upon the earth, is the fact, get it now, that people have turned health food diets into a god. Listen again, 1 Timothy 4:3. Men who advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared. We are living in an age like never before where people have turned health fads, diets, into a god. It's a false idol. No, they don't go to church. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray in any sense of biblical fashion. But they are focused on what they eat as an all-consuming ambition. You know, juicing is healthy. I juice, praise God. But many, beloved, are turning health diets into a religion. It has replaced God to them. Eating healthy, exercising, doing healthy things, that has become their god. The abstaining and forbidding of eating certain kinds of foods. We've got all these diets now. Gluten-free, fat-free, this free, that free, this free, that free. Goodness. Think about your grandfather that lived to 90 years old and he never heard about any of these types of fads and these diets and these restrictions. Obviously, eating healthy is a good thing. But when eating healthy becomes a religion to us and many have made it in their heart a god, this is a sign, beloved, of New Age religion. It's replaced the throne of Jesus Christ in men's hearts. And we see it happening today all over the earth, especially in the Western world. And maybe I'm speaking to you. If I'm speaking to you right now, if you have made your diet, your exercise program, your health fanaticism, the center of your life, if you're spending more time focused on that, if that is more central to you than walking with God, learning the Scriptures, worshiping Him, praying to Jesus, if your health has replaced your relationship with Jesus, I want you to know that I'm extending a loving hand to you right now in the name of King Jesus and giving you an opportunity to get on your knee and repent before Him. All you have to do is say, Jesus, that's true. What Rabbi Schneider just described is me. I repent and I make a covenant with you right now, Jesus, that I'm going to put you first. You can still eat healthy, but don't let your health, eating habits, exercise program, replace a relationship with the living God. So let's continue on with this prayer. King Jesus, I make a covenant with you right now. I'm going to put you back on the throne of my heart. I'm going to begin to spend more time focused on you, hearing your word, praying, learning about you, seeking you, putting you first even with my finances. I'm going to put you first rather than these health fads first. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, beloved ones. Thank you for watching Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm here in Naro, Kenya, preaching the gospel.
The old town was stand still for the word of God. This is tiny in Africa for Rabbi. We saw how God used him. We saw his passion for Africa. People coming to Christ, many healings, people be delivered. When Rabbi saying you are coming to Africa, we are excited. Please, Rabbi, come again and again. We love you and we love your ministry.
Beloved ones, I am so thankful to King Jesus and to you for your financial support, for being able to preach his glorious gospel around the globe in crusades just like this. Thousands are being saved, delivered, healed, and it's only because of you. Beloved, where I go. You send me. Thank you for your financial support. And if you feel the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart to give to this ministry, beloved one, just do it and do it now. You'll be blessed because Jesus always rewards those that are faithful to him. God bless you. Thank you very much and shalom.
Now back to today's program.
You know, Paul tells us in the Word that that discipline is healthy. Bodily discipline is healthy. It's a good thing to discipline ourselves to exercise. Praise God. God bless you if you do that. It's a great thing to eat healthy. I try to watch what I eat. But Paul said, but godly discipline is much more profitable, for it holds benefit not just in this age, but also in the age to come. This health food fanaticism that we're seeing today, beloved, it's a sign of Jesus' imminent return. It's New Age false religion, and it's replaced the throne of the living God in many of men's hearts. The next contemporary sign of King Jesus' return that I want to share with you today, beloved, is the fact that our culture has become cynical, pleasure-seeking, and materialistic. And there's not a person that's listening to me right now that would argue with that. The fact that our culture has become cynical, pleasure-seeking, and materialistic, beloved, this is a sign of Jesus' return. Let's examine each one of these. Cynical. Oh, we live in such a cynical society today. We've seen so many bad things happen. We've seen so many politicians fall. We've seen so many preachers fall. We've seen so many things happen that the spirit of cynicism and bitterness has come in. And you know what happens, beloved? When you and I agree with the spirit of cynicism, when we agree with the spirit of bitterness, you know what happens? We get defiled. We get poisoned. And this is what Satan's strategy is. He wants to bring the whole world into a place of cynicism and a place of skepticism. Beloved, when we become focused on materialism, it's nice to have nice things. I mean, praise God for the nice things He blesses us with. I'm so happy for the things that God's given me. And I know that you are too. We're not putting down God's blessing. But when materialism, beloved, becomes the focus of our life, when people's goal is materialism, when they think, if I could just have that car, if I could just buy that house, if I could just make that much money, when that becomes their ambition, when that's what drives them, if that's what they're waking up in the morning thinking about, they are in total darkness. And we live in a culture today, beloved, that has been seduced by the devils of materialism. It is outer darkness. The only people that think that money's the answer are people that don't have money. Because everybody that has money knows it's not the answer. Sure, you'd rather have, you know, money to be, you know, to take care of yourself and all these things, yes. But you know what? It's not the answer. It's not the ultimate answer. Money takes care of many, many things, but it doesn't fill the human heart. Jesus said, life consisteth not in the abundance of things. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. As he tells us about these signs of the last times. Notice the cynicism, the materialism, the skepticism, the demonic pride. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4. But realize this. In the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I mean, if that doesn't describe our culture today, I don't know what does. It's an evil culture. We read about this, beloved, 2,000 years ago. The scriptures tell us that this will be the nature of our society right before Jesus comes back, and you and I are living smack dab in the middle of it. Jesus is coming back soon. I want you to put your hand over your heart with me. Let's just say together, Jesus is coming back for me. Let's just say it together. Jesus is coming back for me. You see, the scriptures told us that before His return, our culture would become a cynical, demonically filled with pride, materialistic, ungrateful culture. The next contemporary sign of King Jesus' soon and imminent return is the fact that Jerusalem would be at the center of international conflict. The Bible tells us in the book of Zechariah chapter 12 that before the day of the Lord, we'll find that Jerusalem will be at the center of international conflict. What's amazing is that for almost 2,000 years, Jerusalem as a Jewish state didn't exist. This Bible prophecy could have never come true for the past 2,000 years, but today, as of 1948, it has again presented itself right in front of us. Israel has become the Jewish homeland, Jerusalem, the Jewish state, and this, beloved, is bringing about all types of accusation from all over the earth and fulfilling the words of Zechariah that before the day of the Lord, that Jerusalem would become the center of international conflict. Hear the word of God, Zechariah chapter 12, verse number 3. It will come about in that day, the Lord said, that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. What he's telling us there is that Jerusalem is going to become a place that's going to be so fought over that the people that try to get involved are going to be injured. It's going to be at the center of activity. And certainly we're seeing that today, beloved ones. Jerusalem is at the center of activity. And we're seeing the hatred growing against Israel today. More and more nations around the earth are telling us that Israel is wrong for protecting themselves, that Israel is hurting others that they shouldn't be hurting. And more people are getting on the bandwagon against Israel. And you know what? It's all in fulfillment of prophecies that we received almost 3,000 years ago preparing us for this day, for the day of the Lord's return. When we see these things happening, Jesus said, look up and know that your redemption draweth nigh. The continual heated conflict that will continue to heat up over Israel, whether Israel is wrong or right, those that are for Israel, those that are against Israel, this battle will continue to escalate. Beloved, we read at the end of the age that there's going to be such heat there that half the city of Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. And then the end will come and Jesus is going to step in and set up his kingdom. And lastly today, I want to mention to you that the contemporary sign of Jesus' return that brings everything full circle is this, that Jesus said in Matthew 24, 14, that when the gospel is preached, the end of the earth, the end will come. Listen to Matthew 24, 14. Jesus said this, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Do you know, through the sending of missionaries, through television, and now through internet, the gospel has been preached to almost every corner of the earth. It could have never happened before until this time. It could have never happened before the age of information technology. It could have never happened before the age of television. It could have never happened before the age of internet. But we're in the age of satellite television. We're in the age of the internet. We're in the age of information technology. And you know what? It has brought the gospel to the ends of the earth. And Jesus said, when the gospel has been preached the entire world, then the end will come. Do you see it, beloved? Jesus is preparing us for his return. He's advancing. The kingdom of light is advancing towards the earth. And Jesus is coming back for you. Now, I share all this with you, not just so you could just list a bunch of signs to tell your friends about the fact that Jesus is coming back soon, but no, the Lord tells us these things and shares these signs with us that we would act on them, that we would do something. So what should we do? Well, first of all, what we should do is focus on his return. Because the Bible says everyone that has his hope fixed on his return purifies himself even as he is pure. So I want to ask you right now, let's ask God to help us focus on Jesus' return. Let's ask the Father right now to help us focus in front of us that Jesus is coming back. Father God, we ask you right now to quicken our hearts and awaken us that we would live in a conscious expectation of Jesus' return while we're walking on planet Earth today. And Father, that this expectation of his return, Father, that it would be with us all the days of our life, that there wouldn't be a day that would go by, Father, that we would not recognize that Jesus is going to return. Secondly, beloved, what the Lord expects us to do from this is to fear him in a holy way. You see, Jesus said, don't fear man that's only able to kill the body. But Jesus said, fear God that's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. A lot of times today, with this preaching that we have that waters down the truth, we hear our preachers telling us that, oh, God doesn't really want you to fear Him. He just wants you to respect Him. He just wants you to reverence Him. And you know what? We need to respect God, obviously, and we need reverence. But the fear of the Lord is more than just respect and reverence. It's fear. This is why Jesus said, don't fear man that's able to destroy the body only, but fear God, Jesus said, that's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we fear the Lord, it keeps us on the right path. Jesus is coming back. We're going to face Him. We're going to meet Him. That should give us the fear of the Lord, which cleanses our soul. And then lastly, beloved, I share these things with you on this broadcast, that you would spend your effort, your time, your finances, your talents on being used of God and building His kingdom. Because the last things that Jesus told us in Revelation 22 is, behold, I come quickly, and He said, my reward is with me. You see, everything that you do for Jesus in this age while you're alive on planet Earth in the flesh, He's going to reward you for. Jesus is coming back soon. Jesus is coming back for you. Jesus is coming back for me. Let's love Him. Let's serve Him. Let's give Him our hearts. Let's say together, Jesus is coming back for me. And Jesus, we love you.